Is Bugs Bunny real? Is Donald Duck real? Is Mickey Mouse real? Is Barbie real? All the women immediately say, no way. No way, that's not reality. Is Spider-Man real? Christmas has been turned into something that's not real. I'm going to read to you from Matthew chapter 1. Take your Bible and turn to Matthew chapter number 1. Matthew chapter 1. And once you find Matthew 1, find verse number 18 and then stand with me if you will. Matthew chapter 1. We're going to find verse number 18 and I'm going to read all the way through the end of the chapter. Matthew chapter 1, starting with verse number 18, the Bible says this. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. While he taught on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him. And let's pray. Father, bless us now. Help us as we discuss this important subject of Christmas and your Son. Bless the service. Help people to see the truth and the sincerity of this preacher, please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. My sermon today is entitled, Who Stole Christmas? Who Stole Christmas? Now, young people, I want you to listen real carefully. Make sure that you don't interrupt the sermon. I'm sure you've heard of Whoville. It's the home of the Whos. Ask anyone and they will all say there's no place like Whoville around Christmas Day. Yes, every Who down in Whoville liked Christmas a lot, but the Grinch, who lived just north of Whoville, did not. The Grinch hated Christmas. He was a Who turned bad and turned green. The people in Whoville were Christmas spending crazy. When it came to this season, they were in no wise lazy. The Christmas meal was Who pudding, Who pie, roast beef, on which to feast. The more the Grinch thought about what Christmas would bring, the more he thought he must stop the whole thing. He said, I know just what to do. I will steal Christmas away from the Whos. You all never listen to me when I preach. You're listening so well. I'm thinking, goodness. Back into the story. He got a Santa suit for himself. He realized he needed some reindeer. He took his dog Max and got some red thread and tied a big horn on top of his head. He stole all their Christmas in a flash, even their last can of Who hash. Cindy Lou, you all know Cindy Lou? Who, right? Cindy Lou Who. The Grinch was in stealing Christmas at Cindy's house, and Cindy came down to get a drink of water. And the Who loved Christmas, and Cindy said, what are you doing with our Christmas tree? And the Grinch lied to her. Said, we're going to take it out for repair. He thought by stealing the lights and the food and the gifts that he would destroy Christmas. He shoved all the gifts and the tree and everything in his sled, and he was getting ready to push it over a cliff, and Christmas morning came around. And all of a sudden, he could hear that singing. Y'all know the story, right? He heard the singing. Not sad, but glad. A thought he had never had before. Maybe Christmas can't be bought from a store. And that's true. That's true. I enjoy the wonderful life. In Charlie Brown Christmas, my wife was busy cooking and making cookies the other day for the ladies' fellowship here at the church. And Charlie Brown Christmas came on. And I mean, she stopped everything and ran to watch Charlie Brown Christmas. Frosty the Snowman, not his pipe. Prancer. But folks, it's not Xmas, it's Christmas. And it's not just a holiday. They're trying to exchange the word Christmas for it being a winter holiday or the snow season. Well, not everybody gets snow, so that's not always true. Again, I would not agree with everything that our president says. But I heard him say on national television, he said, we're going to start celebrating Christmas again in America. And for that, I am grateful. If you were listening earlier from Matthew chapter 1, we were reading the story. And the Christmas story, as it were. And it saddens me that Christmas has turned into what it is. And because we're going into and have been in that season, I'm going to talk to you for a little while about who stole Christmas. They say it was the Grinch, but he didn't steal Christmas. But I would say this, first of all, I would say commercialism is trying to steal Christmas. Commercialism. Christmas has just become another chance for a godless society to make money. The retailers use the birth of Christ to get rich. Now, do they use this? Don't talk over here. Look right up here and don't talk. Do they use the increase of income in any way for God? No, they just line their own pockets with it. And do you realize there are retailers out there that will not say Merry Christmas to you when you're in their store, but they will use every ounce of this time of the year to make money off of you? Isn't there some hypocrisy in that somewhere? They sell holiday packaged liquor to make money, but don't want anything to do with Jesus. If the market really loved the Jesus of the season, they would close their stores on Sunday in honor of him. To most of our nation, it's just another economic booster. Big money people are just sitting there waiting to see what the Christmas sales will be. They put signs up in their stores that say Xmas, then they make all that money that they possibly can off of the one that they crossed off their list. Tell me if that's not false advertising. Wow. And folks, be careful not to get into the commercialism of Christmas. Whatever happened to this statement and it being sincere? It is the thought that counts. Did you know that it is the thought that counts when you receive a gift? It's not the gift. It's the thought that counts. Will we rear an entire generation that do not understand those simple words? It is the thought that counts. And young people, when you receive a gift, whether it's big or small, you ought to stop and think about the fact that somebody was trying to give you something to say to you that they love you and that they care about you. Say, but it's not what I wanted. And it's not also what you deserve, because you deserve nothing. You say, what? Who told you that, Pastor? Did you see the naughty list? Oh, yes, I did. And everybody is on it. Because if we got what we deserve, we die and go to hell. And so whatever you get's better than hell. And let me tell you something. When you get a gift, it is still the thought that counts. Could I recommend to everybody that you watch your overspending? We get into this part of the year, and listen, it's okay to spend some money. It's good. We're Christians. We like to give. We enjoy giving. But you need to be careful that you, in an emotional thrust in November and December, don't drive yourself deep into debt, and then you're miserable in January, February, and March when the credit card bills come in and you have a mess on your hands because you can't pay your bills. But commercialism is trying and to some degree has stolen this beautiful thing that we call Christmas. We say the Grinch stole it. Well, we know he's not even real. There is a guy in a red suit that's tried to steal Christmas. Is he real? No, he's not. He's not real. And in so many people talk, y'all are really quiet again. Are we on sacred territory? Do you understand? For the most part, there is one that has tried to take Jesus' place at Christmas time. We allowed our children to enjoy the silliness of Santa, but he was just like any other character to them. Our children did not grow up being told that Bugs Bunny was real. Our children did not grow up being told Mickey Mouse was real, and Spider-Man's not real, and Superman's not real. And there, you say, what is it? They're all fake, just like most of the news. But you need to be careful, folks, because commercialism is trying to steal Christmas. And there's another personality that somehow has moved onto the scene and through the ages has been getting a lot more attention than Jesus. You tell me, who gets the most attention in America at Christmas time? Jesus or Mr. Claus? Who gets the most attention? Be careful lying to people, especially your kids. Do you ever think about the guy in the red suit and the qualities that we give him credit for? He's coming to town. Well, is he? No. Who's coming to town? Well, Jesus is coming again. He knows when you're sleeping. Does he? He knows when you're sleeping in church. Who knows whether you're asleep or not? God. He knows when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows if you've been bad or good. Now, who knows that? Jesus. You know, the fat guy in the red suit, he's given credit for being perfectly perfect, no flaws. There's only one that I know of that had no flaws. And he had nail prints in his hands, not a red hat on his head. He's everywhere in one night. Meaning he's omnipresent. Now, does anybody know anybody that's really omnipresent? Yeah, Jesus. He can walk through walls. Wait a minute. I only know of one that can walk through walls. Who's that? Jesus. There's nothing beyond his power. That's omnipotence. Now, wait a minute. There's only really one that has all power. Who's that? That's Jesus. And again, he's got a list of your goods and your bads. I think there's only one that's got a list like that. Jesus. Let's be careful, America. You have a God in December that's being lifted up a little bit too much. So, has commercialism tried to steal the birth of Christ? Sure. Has the fat guy in the red suit been placed into a position where he has all the qualities of God's Son, but he's not God's Son? I think we should be careful. Hey, our world's celebration and the way the world just celebrates Christmas has tried to steal away from Christmas its purity. We have parties because it's Christmas. But wait a minute. Lewd dancing, and bad music. I think I have a hard time with that. Amen. The Holy Christ Child. Oh, come, let us adore Him with nudity, rock and roll, and burlesque dancing. Somehow, they don't go together. That's right. If you understand purity. The booze, drink it up in honor of the Holy One's birth. And then people stay home from church. There will be all sorts of people that will not show up to church on Christmas Eve because they're celebrating the birth of the Christ child. Sounds to me that somebody stole Christmas. The world's celebrations. You know what people will do? They will steal their tithe and their offering to the church and spend it on other things. There are all sorts of people. They will not tithe at Christmas time because they're spending that money on something else. This will sound so offensive, and I don't mean it to be. Christmas is not all about your kid. It's all about God's kid. And you say, well, I don't see it that way. You want to be careful. You get yourself in some real trouble with God. Christmas is not about your kid. And you were a kid once, and it wasn't about you when it was your parent giving to you. Hey, and I am for giving. I love giving. Every time we turn around and have a special service around here, I'm giving something. You all probably think, yeah, every time we turn around, he's giving this and giving that and giving this and giving that. I love giving. But I'd be wrong to give you any impression other than the fact that Christmas is about the Son of God. It's about Jesus. So people at Christmas time, in an effort to celebrate the Christ child, go to parties they should not go to, booze it up, which they should not be doing, stay home from church, steal the tithe, and take the birthday boy's money and spend it on someone else. Now, if that were happening to your child, you would virtually be offended. I'm not against Christmas trees, if you will be honest about the purpose of the season. There are all sorts of people that have all sorts of beliefs about a Christmas tree, and they're pagan and everything. I think they're most pagan to the people who are pagan. Listen, and what I mean by that is there are people that worship that tree, and they worship the fat man in the red suit. And if you want a tree with some lights on, I don't see any big deal. I don't think it is a terrible, terrible, sinful thing. But I will tell you this, you better keep your eyes on the real purpose of Christmas. And it's not the tree, and it's not the fat guy in the red suit, and it's not all about me and you. It's all about Jesus Christ. I don't think Jesus intended us to be rocking around the Christmas tree. I think we create debt that is unwise. And listen, I don't know. Mrs. Owens, did you teach your lesson last night about how to do something for Christmas without having to spend a lot of money? Last night at the ladies' meeting, evangelist's sister, Mrs. Owens, taught the ladies about having a Christmas without having to spend a lot of money. Folks, really and honestly, you don't have to spend all your money to have a good Christmas. It truly is the thought that counts. And if you just love people and you'd make a big deal about people and not things, you'll have a happier and you'll have a more blessed Christmas. I think children, I think it's a good training time. I tell this story all the time because it is so, so dear to me. You'll probably get tired of hearing it because I'll probably tell it every year. But I've never forgotten the year that Christmas changed for me. I can't remember how old I was, but I remember that Christmas was about me, 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 me. What do I get? This is what I want. Give me. I want things. I remember I was with my mom. There's a store in our town. It was called the Val's Discount Center. My mom and I were walking through Val's about 6 or 7 weeks before Christmas, and there was a set of towels there. They had some print on it, and I watched my mama go over there, and she looked at those towels, and she touched them, and she smelled them, and she put them down, and we come back by later, and she touched them again, and it was just written all over. She had fallen in love with that set of towels. And I said, my mom, she's going to have those for Christmas. And I remember saving my money. I was going and I was collecting pop bottles. You all understand a pop bottle? Pop bottles used to be worth a nickel back then for me. I was collecting pop bottles and saving my money. And I remember I got enough and I was able to go to Val's Discount Center and buy those towels for my mom. And I snuck them home and I wrapped them that Christmas morning. I didn't care what my brother was getting. I didn't care what I was getting. Man, I went over and we finally all got around the tree and I got that box. I took it over and laid it on my mom's lap. And usually, you know, the kids were tearing everything open and parents are sitting back and they're just loving watching the kids. And I put that package on my mom's lap. I said, Mom, open it up. She said, well, I'll wait on you guys. I said, no, Mom, open it up. That year, Christmas made a total turnaround for me. I realized it is more blessed to give than to receive. And that was a year I grew up. And something happened inside me. I could not wait to be a blessing to my mom. Because I was able to give my mom something that she liked or that she wanted. And I thank the Lord for that. And folks, let's not lose track of that. And parents, you know what it's like. There's nothing like, and we like to give things to our kids because they enjoy it. But we want our kids to learn it's more blessed to give than to receive. This commercialism that has stolen our Christmas, hey, let's not forget those words. Let's not forget where it says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with the child of the Holy Ghost. That child, that's the one that Christmas is really all about. And all the money and the commercialism, I'm glad it helps our economy, but it's really supposed to be helping Jesus. And it's supposed to be about the things of God. And the fat guy in the red suit, if we're not careful, he'll be lifted up above Jesus Christ. And then the celebrations of the parties and the way that everybody handles things. I think they can be wrong. I think they can be wrong. Then I think even churches make a mistake. I think in our day and age, there are churches who maybe have stolen Christmas away and they're mishandling Christmas. I think churches that will not stand up for the real purpose of Christmas are wrong.
Amen.
I think pastors, look, I try to be very cautious. I've not tried to make the fat guy in the red suit the second coming of Satan. But I will tell you this. I am not afraid to tell you that you ought not be lying to your children. And I'm not afraid to tell you that Jesus is more important than Santa. And I think pastors ought not be afraid to say that. Kids ought to know that. I told you, Bugs Bunny is not real. Donald Duck is not real. Elmer Fudd was real. I knew him. He lived up the road from me. But I watch pastors and I watch churches and I think, boy, they virtually get sucked into the whole mess of it all. Hey, have fun. Sing the Christmas song. Put the tree up. Have good time with it. But be careful just to keep your sights set on what it's really all about. It's about Jesus. That's what it's all about. I think people who do not stand up for the real reason of Christmas are being a little bit cowardly. And I don't think you ought to go to your next door neighbor today and start a fight with them about all of this. But I do think that you ought to stand for what's right. I do not believe it is scripturally right to cancel church on behalf of Christmas. I don't see anywhere in the Bible where I, as a pastor, have the right to cancel church anyway. God set it up. I'm just a delivery boy. But I know churches that will say, well, we're going to cancel church for Christmas. I think that is hypocrisy. I think we've been sucked into the world's way of celebrating, and won't be long, we're not calling it Christmas in the church anymore, and we're going to call it a holiday, because the word holiday means holy. Well, I've got news for you. He was the holy Christ child, and his birth date is a big deal. He was born of a virgin. If it were not for that, we'd all die and go to hell. I don't think there's anything wrong at all with setting a day aside. And what they ought to do is to compare all the people that they give days off at work and have national holidays for all sorts of people. Well, we're talking about God's Son. And somehow it's wrong? No, it's not wrong. Do you know that in churches, offerings should probably go up around Christmas instead of go down? I'm a pastor. I've been dealing with churches for years and years and years. The tendency is that you give less at the time of Christ's birth, when really, if it's all about Jesus, maybe it ought to go up. Churches seem to have less people saved around Christmas than any other time of the year. And I got to tell you again, I think, wow, the whole reason that Jesus came, the Bible says the Son of Man is coming to seek and to save that which is lost. The whole reason he came, the whole virgin birth process had to do with that procedure that had to happen so that man could be saved. And so churches will see less saved, churches' offerings will go down, churches' attendance will go down, all in honor of Christmas. Have we allowed even the misconception of pastors and churches to steal from God the real purpose of Christmas? I think he deserves gifts. I'll tell you, if you were having a birthday party for your child and everybody came but your child received no gifts, I would guess as a parent you would say, wait a minute. Why is it everybody getting something except for the birthday boy? I think preachers should preach purity and honesty as much at this time of the year as they do any other time of the year. It's all in honor of the Christ child. Here at our church, we decorate, we have fun. We don't use Santa decorations, and I'm just not going to give him the extra media coverage around here. Hey, listen, even at work, y'all need to be careful. I wouldn't be going to drunken parties at work in honor of the Christ child. You say, but it's the party. Well, maybe I'll not go to the party for Jesus' sake. If you go to the party and there's, you know, I wonder how many marriages have been ruined at New Year's Eve parties and Christmas parties that a Christian shouldn't have been at, where they're doing things they shouldn't have been doing. Boy, we ought to live right at this time of the year. Jesus came. He was born of a virgin. And he came to save us. That's what Christmas is all about. Was it the Grinch that stole Christmas from us? I don't think so. I think money tends to cause people to do things they shouldn't do. I think the commercialism has tried to steal away from us the purity of Christmas. Somehow, the fat man in the red suit in most of America has taken the place of Jesus Christ. I think the parties, the celebratory part of the thing, if we're not careful, it goes from a pure celebration of a birth into parties, boozing, drinking, stealing, and everything else. And I can't see how any of that honors the Christ child. I think then even churches and Christians get away from the purity of the season. Give gifts. Exchange gifts. I think that's great. But don't stop coming to church. And don't let Santa become more important than Jesus. That's got to be sinful. You do understand that one of the Ten Commandments is, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And he is made out to have the same qualities as the Son of God. He can't be everywhere. He can't see everything. Jesus can. And I've got to give credit to Jesus where credit is due. You say, preacher, you're trying to ruin Christmas for everybody? No, I'm really not. I'm trying to help Christmas be as pure as what it's supposed to be. I'm not going to be taking pot shots at the fat guy in the red suit for the rest of the season, although I may not mention him by name, but I will take a shot or two. I better take some of that back because I never tell. Sometimes I say things I don't mean to say, but it comes out because it's in there, and I try to harness it, but it can't always harness it. Sometimes I regret what I say. Okay, so I have conversations like this often with myself, but not usually public. Let's just do this. Hey, have fun. Enjoy Christmas. It's good. I love the season. I like the parties. I like the cookies. I like the brownies. I like the big Christmas dinner. I love all of it. Hey, I even like to get things. I enjoy all of that. But I cannot allow the world's approach to Christmas take God's intended purpose. And that is the exaltation of the Holy Christ child. Let's make sure we keep Christ in Christmas. Go ahead and have fun with it. Enjoy it. But make sure that you're not enjoying it at God's expense. Because it's really not all about me and you. It's really all about God and His precious Son. Let's bow our heads. Let's close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, we would like to invite you to the Savior, because that's something the Bible teaches 365 days a year, the need of a Savior. If you died today and you say, Pastor, I'm not sure if I died today, I'd go to heaven. Please pray for me. I do not know. I'm born again. If you'd raise your hand and say, pray for me, preacher. I'm not going to embarrass you, but you say, pray for me, preacher. I don't know that if I died today, I'd go to heaven. Pray for me. I'm not saved. I'll pray for you. Hey, let me ask this then, those of you that have trusted Christ as Savior, do you possibly need to make sure that you keep your eyes on the Christ child? Do you possibly need to push the reset button just to make sure that you don't celebrate this season the way the world does, forgetting Jesus, making it all about receiving instead of giving? Do you possibly need to be reminded so that Christmas is kept pure? Oh, you don't have to take all the fun out of it. Sure, enjoy it. Well, let's celebrate it in a way that it is God-honoring. Has God spoken to your heart today, maybe in a way of reminder about the importance of this season being done the right way? Who here would raise your hand and say, God's spoken to me? That's good. I need a little reminder. God bless you. You may put those hands down. We're going to have a time of altar call. If you need, maybe you have a burden or a heartache, you need to come and pray. You come. I know I've spoken specifically about Christmas today. Maybe some of you are going to visit family over the holidays and you need to come and pray and say, Lord, help me. I want to handle it right with the family. And maybe you need a time of prayer. If you're not saved, you come. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be born again. I'm going to ask the pianist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If you need a moment at this altar, you come. Maybe you just need to come and be reminded and just say, Lord, help me to keep my mind on Christmas in the right way. Oh, parents, let me challenge you to teach that concept to your kids, that it truly is the thought that counts. Big gift, little gift, or even the desire to give a gift but one cannot be given. May we still be good receivers. Jesus is the reason for the season. Some of you need to right now figure out there are some parties that you should not go to just because there will be bad things happening on what is supposed to be a good season. Let's not do bad in honor of the good Christ child. I love what the Scripture says. Over and over again, we find about His birth. It says, Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is He that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen His star in the east and are come to worship Him. I promise you, if we had an alien come from another planet in the month of December and they came to America and wanted to know who the God was in America, they're liable to walk away thinking that God must be a man in a red suit, because He tends to get the credit that the Christ child deserves. If you're a guest here today and you're not saved, if you come, we'll take a Bible and show you how to be saved. Or just see us after the service and we'd be glad to show you what the Scripture says about salvation. If you look back at me, and inevitably there'll be at least someone here that'll be mad at me today because I took shot at the fat guy in the red suit. And I'm sorry that you'll be upset with me, and I apologize if that hurt your feelings, but I will not apologize for the truth. He gets way too much attention in this day and age, and all I'm saying is let's be honest and keep Jesus first. Just keep Jesus first. And you'll not be sorry about that. And one day when we get to heaven, you'll understand why. You'll see how magnificent He is and how everything down here on earth was really, really overrated. And we'll see the importance of keeping Jesus in the season.